Welcome to the Liberty Free to Be podcast. My name's Rachel Peru. Join me as I share a weekly dose of midlife inspiration, where you get to hear from some amazing people who are leaving a trail of inspiration along the way, breaking down midlife stereotypes and proving it's never too late to find your passion and purpose. From health, happiness, mindset to menopause, reinvention to rebelling, no subject is off limits. Living a life of liberty, free to be. Free to be whatever you want to be in midlife and beyond. Welcome back to a new week of Liberty Free to Be podcast. I hope you're all having a fabulous summer. I can't complain. We've already just come back from the Maldives, which was an amazing trip. And more about that later, but it's just been a phenomenal time this summer of just having the time of our lives, which is exciting. And I'm going to places and doing things I never thought I would do. So here's to midlife and enjoying being in our 50s. And today's guest is someone that is definitely doing that. And I'm just going to read you the first line of her media bio because I absolutely love it. Susan Esco is a vivacious and silverlicious midlife goddess, raising the vibe of humanity one smile at a time. How fabulous is that? So I can't wait to introduce you to Susan Esco to find out more and to find out exactly how she is doing all that in midlife. So good morning, Susan. How are you doing?
Good morning. I am enchanted. How about you?
Oh, so good to see you. We've been meaning to have this conversation for a while, so I'm so glad you can join me today. So whereabouts are you based, Susan? Because it's morning for you now, isn't it?
It is. I'm in Long Beach, California.
Oh, lovely. Oh, I'm not going to pretend I'm not jealous at all. Have you always lived there?
I grew up in Los Angeles, and I just returned after 30 years to the LA area. So I'm glad to be back.
So we have got so much to talk about. And where do we start? I mean, now, how do you describe yourself in three words and why? Let's start there.
Three words. I would say authentic, silverlicious.
Yes.
And bubbly.
Love it. Let's start with the gray hair then, because like you and I, we're both silverlicious, and I love that word and that term. But how long have you been silver now? When did you ditch the dye?
Well, I'm 53 now, so when I was 44, so almost 10 years ago, I chopped off my hair, it was this long, to about Jamie Lee Curtis. Mm. And I just let it grow out over 3 years' time, and it was a very transformational process for me, where I learned to love myself and suspend judgment of myself, which also allowed me to love others and suspend judgments of others. So it was pretty life-changing.
Yeah, I can completely relate to that. And I very similar. I was 46, but I had super short hair and let it grow out. And it's liberating, isn't it? I felt like it was the first time I really felt like me, because I wasn't pretending and hiding behind a different hair color.
Yeah, and I don't think we realized that we were pretending. I think we were just moving along with the brainwashing of society that we lose our value when our hair starts to turn white. And so, yeah, until you go through that process of owning it, you really don't realize that you were actually hiding it in the beginning, you know?
And what made you get to that stage where you thought, yeah, actually, I'm going to stop coloring it? Was it an easy process? Was it an easy decision to make?
Well, what happened with me is I became super organic and healthy and vegan and into all the, you know, paying attention to the products I was using on my body or in my home. And when I realized that I was putting basically chemicals straight into my bloodstream through my scalp every 6 weeks, I was like, you know, this has got to stop. This is the last thing that I need to do to make myself feel like I'm taking good care of me. Yeah.
So how did that evolve, that kind of whole journey evolve into the Die Free to Be Me campaign that you've launched?
Well, what happened was, so over that 3 years, I learned how to love myself. I learned how to give myself grace. And so I had this message, like I wanted to shout from the rooftops, like, hey, you guys, just Be free to be you. It's so much more relaxing to not worry about other people's judgment. And so that's when I started the dive hashtag. I was like, okay, so how do I explain to people? Because they're like, oh, you're letting yourself go. I'm like, I'm not really letting myself go. I'm actually embracing the real me. So how can I explain to people why I ditched the dye? And that's how I came up with that hashtag. I'm dye free to be me. Yeah. You be you, I'll be me. And so it seemed like a nice hashtag to start spreading the word. And then I started all my Facebook groups and my support groups and my Instagram page. And I'm just here to help other women to kind of hold their hand or guide them or be their cheerleader throughout this whole transformational process.
I love that. And it is about building that community, isn't it? And that sense of knowing that you're not on your own going through this. Because what I really found was other women can be really judgmental.
Yep. Yeah.
More than men.
I have compassion for them because I realize they're still in that the matrix or that programming mindset of your worth is based on the color of your hair. And, you know, yeah. Silver or white is just another color on the spectrum. So, and embracing my natural hair color helped me, you know, learn how to love myself and to build that confidence to feel good in my skin. So it's new. It's new to me. And something else that's new to me is that's along the same lines of being authentic is I came out about 3 years ago as a late blooming lesbian. And so when I was coming out, I was like, well, Miss My Dye Free to Be Me brand is all about authenticity. And how can I be authentic in one area and not authentic in the other? And so, you know, I reached deep down inside and I decided, you know what? I'm just going to keep being authentic. So I'm a late blooming lesbian. I'm building community in a whole new culture, whole new crowd, and super excited at just about being me. You know, it's all about being yourself and creating joyful opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. And how freeing. I can't imagine how freeing that must be to completely wake up in the morning and know that you are living your authentic life now. There is nothing that you're kind of working against and being put in a box. You're free to be whoever you want to be. And I think lots of women struggle with that, whether it's hiding something that they haven't really truly been all their lives, or it's just they don't know what they want to do in midlife. How difficult was it to get to that stage to come out and say, this is me, and completely own it?
You know, again, I come back to our programming. Our programming as women to be less than or feel less than or always feel like you have to prove your worth. It felt really good just to be like, you know, this is me. So take me or leave me, I'll find my tribe. Just releasing that fear of judgment of others has been life-changing in all areas of my life. I mean, even the fact of when you're in the grocery store and you might want to compliment somebody, but then you're like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't. I'm fearful. Maybe they'll think I want something from them or, you know, I'm coming at them in a wrong way. But what we don't understand is when we release fear of judgment, the whole world opens up to us and miracles, magic actually surrounds us, you know? So when you get that inkling that I'm learning to follow my intuition. So when I get that inkling to say something, guess what? I say it.
Yeah.
And people can receive it the way they receive it. But I'm giving them what I feel like I need them to hear. And so what I like to do is every time I go out, I'm cheerleading all the women. I'm just like, hey, sis, nice outfit. Wow, look at those glasses. I love them. Or especially when I see Silver Sisters, I'm like, wow, girl, I'm digging your silver locks. And they're like, it's natural. And I'm like, I know, mine too. You know, yeah.
I love that. And it makes them, you can see them walk off to have a spring in their step, don't they? It just
they
makes
do.
Them feel so much more confident. How comfortable are you at accepting compliments?
I'm comfortable now. I just say, thank you. You know, and I try to like reflect back to them something beautiful I see in them as well. And when people stop me in the community, and I'm sure they do for you a lot, it happens all the time. I just say, thank you so much for expressing gratitude to me. Like, you didn't have to do that. And I really appreciate you.
Yeah. So it's something we all need to do more of, because the impact it has on somebody else's day can be huge.
Right. And, you know, I use the hashtag woman empowering women all the time. Like, my goal is to just raise you up and make you feel like the goddess you truly are. Like, we need to remember our divine feminine energy. It's just, it's right there. We just need to like release it and feel good about sharing that with the world.
And talking of sharing with the world, you are now in a kind of a different realm with the modeling, and you're similar to me. You came into modeling later in life. So how did that all start?
Well, again, based on the Die Free to Be Me movement and message, I figured out what's the fastest way to get my message out there. And I was like, I'm a Capricorn, so I'm a multitasker. So I was like, Susan, you should just model and act. You just need to be literally a role model. Just be seen. I just want to be seen so that other women can go, wow, like, ooh, she can do it. I can do it.
Yeah.
So I always try to explain to people that modeling and acting wasn't something I ever wanted to do. It wasn't a dream of mine. It's just a platform to get my message out. There's really no ego attachment. When I submit, I'm excited to get a callback. But when I submit and then I let it go. I'm just like, okay, whatever is for me will find me.
And I guess that's the beauty of going into the model industry later in life, is that facing that rejection is not as difficult as perhaps it would have been in our 20s.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't even see it as rejection. I just see it as, okay, well, I'm just happy you guys called me back, wanted to get a closer look.
What did you do before, Susan, before modeling? What, in your former life, what were you? What was your career then?
I've been a speech pathologist for 25 years in private practice. And so I dipped out of that about 6 months ago. I went full-time modeling and acting here in Los Angeles. And it's a little slow to warm up. So I dipped back into speech pathology. So I'm still doing speech pathology and modeling and acting. When I get the gigs, you know, I'll just take some time off of work. So I'm kind of doing it all right now.
Yeah, and having lots of fun. Every time I see your post, you're always smiley and happy. And I can tell that you're having such a good time in life. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? We get to this later stage in life and we kind of stop caring less about what other people think, other people's judgments, and just do the things that we enjoy doing.
Yeah, just bring joy to yourself and then it will domino effect onto the others, you know. I do bubbling. So another one of my passions is large wand bubbling. And so that's basically creating large displays of magical bubbles for humans out in the community or in the entertainment industry for music videos, commercials, movies. That's something I discovered during COVID as a way to bring joy to people, you know? Have you ever seen large wand bubbling?
I've seen your pictures. I've not seen it out, but I have seen you do it, and I've seen your photos and reels. Looks really, I mean, it's actually quite beautiful to watch.
Yeah, I call it bubble therapy or bubble meditation. It truly brings you to the moment, brings you to the now. And when I'm bubbling with people, I ask them, I'm just like, hey, are you guys thinking about your to-do list right now? They're like, no. I said, perfect. Like, that's my goal, is I'm bringing you in the now, bringing you to the high vibes, maybe bringing you back to your childhood, you know, experiences.
Yes.
So people are like, hey, can you bubble at my 4-year-old's birthday party? And I'm like, well, I'm really actually here for the grown-ups. I just want to raise the vibe of humanity one bubble at a time, really. And that's something that I've discovered as a way for me to play and bring a whole bunch of different people together from different walks of life. And
that's so important, is it? That word play, because I think when you do get later in life, quite often life gets kind of in the way. People have families, perhaps, or they're busy working full time, or they're caring for elderly relatives. So that word play gets so often missed out of our vocabulary in our everyday life. And it's so important to stay young minded and fresh and remind ourselves who we really are.
Right. And and get back to who you used to be. Like, I'm also empty nested. So it's been a year and a half of me trying to remember who's Susan. Like, mom's not here, but who's Susan? And so I've really enjoyed this part of my, of the midlife of journey of discovering who I am now. Not who I was before the kids, but who I am now and who do I want to be next?
Yes. I feel exactly the same. And, you know, we're the same age. And I found I was dreading being an empty nester. I was dreading, because I've got three kids, and I was dreading them leaving, thinking, well, that's going to be, because it's like, that's your role in life. That's your major role in life. And then when it's not there, it's like, well, who am I? But actually, I've really had enjoyed the freedom to find out who I am. And it does feel like I'm more like my 16-year-old self now than I have been for years.
Which is funny because, when I met my first husband when I was 17. So I kind of had that marker for me too. Like, who was I before I became entangled and enmeshed in someone else's energy? And that's funny. Yeah, I feel like the 17-year-old Susan when I was free and free-spirited and excited. And I'm back there, which is exciting because people assume once you get older, you're just kind of like, but no, I'm like, where's the party? Let's go. What are we doing next?
I went to somebody's funeral recently, but it was somebody that had lived to 100. So actually it was a beautiful celebration. And during it, I was sat there thinking, wow, I'm 53 now. I could have nearly all that life that I've had up to now again. It's amazing to think that we're living longer and we've got so many more opportunities in our 60s, 70s, 80s. I can see loads of different opportunities and it's exciting. It shouldn't be doom and gloom and, okay, this is it. We've got so much to offer.
Yeah. You know, I realized, when was it? Gosh, I think after the gray hair transition, I really realized that life is for creating joyful opportunities and moments. And no one's going to schedule those joyful moments for me. And I shouldn't expect to just fall into the joyful moments. So I schedule them, you know, back to playing roles and wearing hats. You know, we need to make sure we put on our play hat every day, at least for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's such good advice. And I really like the idea of scheduling that time in so that you know it's in the diary and that's your time to do whatever makes you happy.
Yeah. I wish I would have known that back when I was raising my family.
Yes. Yeah. But hopefully having these conversations, younger generation will pick up on these and learn from what we've learned, our lessons. We can create that ripple effect.
Right. And one thing I'd like to remind the younger generation is that self-love is not selfish.
Yeah.
Self-love is self-sustaining. If you don't love yourself or give yourself time to love yourself and feed your soul, then you won't have enough to love anyone else.
Yeah. But don't you think we're taught from a young age, as girls particularly, I think, that it is selfish. We're taught from a young age that we're kind of almost put ourselves at the bottom of the pile and put everybody else first, don't we?
That's our role, as provider, as caretaker. Yeah.
Yeah, but caretaking for ourselves first.
Right. It's a priority. And I hope that I inspire women everywhere to set a timer for 15 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Set a timer and then do it. Do whatever that is, whatever feeds your soul, whether it's meditating or grounding on the earth or closing your eyes and, you know, whatever it takes.
And let's talk about the kind of pro-aging attitude in particularly where you are in LA, because I can only go by the experiences we have in the UK. And it seems to me in the UK that we've got a really good sense of community now of midlife women rising up together, but we've still got a long way to go before advertising and media and fashion brands catch up with that. We're still so underrepresented. So how difficult is it to feel positive about midlife in the LA environment?
Well, back to the acting part, there's a lot of anti-aging campaigns out there that cross my desk and offers for me to be an ambassador for people that I just don't take If there's the words anti-aging in your commercial, I'm not your gal. So, it's been limiting commercial work that I can do because I won't represent a brand that tells people that you need to be against aging. Like, embrace aging. What you resist persists. If you want to spend your time fighting aging, you're gonna use all those free minutes for play, worrying and looking in the mirror and scrutinizing your wrinkles. Like, for me, the only thing that this anti-aging thing is doing for me in LA is keeping me from getting some gigs. But otherwise, I love moving through all the circles of all the women and having them inspired, you know, by my locks. And it starts conversations. And I've never really had anyone here say anything bad. But I think it's because I roll into the room like a bright light. You know, I think if you roll into a room with confidence, no one's going to try to make you feel bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think you going in there, owning who you are and being confident and being completely authentic yourself, it really does inspire other people and makes them think, okay, well, she looks great like that. She obviously feels good because look how the way she's expressing herself. Perhaps I can get to that place too.
Right. And what I was going to say about, there's been a lot of diversity in castings here in Los Angeles. There's a lot of 50 to 70 year old women castings. And I would say about 20% of them say silver hair or gray hair only. Right. So yeah, I think the tide is turning, definitely.
That's really good to hear. Because my first modeling job, and actually if it came along now, I wouldn't accept it. But when I first started, so I was 47 and my first campaign was for a Better Life healthcare company. And I was cast as the grandma. So I was 47 and because of my gray hair, I was immediately cast as a grandma and it was advertising like healthcare aids. So bed raisers, getting out of the bath help, assistance, things like blood pressure checks. And it was just that kind of stereotypical portrayal of a woman with gray hair. And they just ticked that box. And you know, I'm now looking back, I think, gosh, I wouldn't do it now because they should have got a 70-year-old or an 80-year-old to play that part, not a 47-year-old.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think I'm not getting a lot of gray hair castings because I don't look like that quintessential grandma, yes. You know. Yeah. I think they're going to have to start catching up with the fact that there's 30-year-olds with gray hair out there and it's okay. Yeah, like I said, hair color does not dictate your worth or value in society, although it does, but it shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, you have to keep banging that drum.
People are usually what they see when they see me, they're like, oh, you have blonde hair. I'm like, okay. Because it's the white in the front and the auburn in the back.
Yeah.
And so it's not that typical gray, steely gray color. And so I think it confuses people. I like to keep them guessing.
Yeah, exactly. So what's next for Susan? What have you kind of, have you got big dreams? What would you really love to see happen in the future?
Well, my biggest dream is to just bubble. I would love to just be the Hollywood bubbler full time. And I started bubbling for retirement centers right now. So I'm in the retirement home circuit going around and bubbling for the folks. So yeah, if I could bubble and just spread joy for the rest of my life and get paid, I'm getting paid well for it. Yeah, that's my dream. Modeling, acting, and bubbling.
Simple. Brilliant combination. And I love the fact that, you know, when you look back when you were younger, I bet you could never imagine the fact that you would become a bubbler in your 50s.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And like, no one really knows what it is. So I have like this little niche market and I'm fun and whimsical. I wear cute costumes and I've been hitting up all of the prides recently here and been bubbling for my queer community and making connections. You just can't not smile when you see a bubble floating by.
Yeah. How supportive have you found people to be when you came out? Because that's quite difficult to come out later in life, isn't it? So how supportive have family, friends, have you found a really positive community around you?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I came out on Facebook on purpose. Like I did a whole coming out photo shoot in the park. I had all these cute little rainbow pictures, and I made a post on Facebook to come out because I wanted to see who my allies were. You know, I wanted to see how many people would unfollow me and how many people would support me, and if anybody would say anything negative. And it was just all support. It was just all support. And I'm finding that I really love the queer community because I don't want to make a blanket statement, but it feels like to me, people are a lot more open and less judgmental in the queer community, which makes sense. And so they're willing to embrace you in that community. There is a little bit of within that queer community, when you're a late blooming person, there is a little bit of discomfort with the people who have been out their whole life.
Yeah.
You know, with them, there's a little bit of discomfort in there, in that people question, like, are you sure? Like, why did it take so long? You're 50 now. But I knew when I was 23. Right. But I just did what I think everyone else did with the brainwashing of, you're supposed to get married to a man, you're supposed to have kids. And so I did the supposed to's, and now I'm doing the want-to's. Yeah. You know, I want to do this. It's not I supposed to.
Yeah.
Following I'm that feeling very supportive here.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad.
It's all about listening to that inner voice and not second guessing it, right?
Yes. Yeah. And not letting all those external pressures from society take over, which is hard.
Yeah, really is. How long have you been modeling for?
I started when I was 46, so I'm now 53, so 7 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do really enjoy doing it, but I would never have thought about doing this when I was younger. I wouldn't have had the confidence. So it's interesting to do it later in life.
Yeah, I really appreciate you and what you're doing with the body positivity. And all the lingerie. Oh my gosh, you're super inspirational for me.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you. I really appreciate that. So my last question that I ask all my guests, because my new podcast branding is Liberty Free to Be. So what does free to be mean to Susan?
That hit my heart. Yeah, that immediately made me start to tear up. Free to me means to move through life in gratitude, to move through life with positivity and love of self and love of others and freedom to be authentically me 100% of the time.
Thank you. Such a beautiful way to end this conversation. Thank you so much for your time today. How can people come and find you, Susan? How can they find you? How can they find out about your movement?
Okay. Thank you so much for your time too, Rachel. I really appreciate you. Got me all my feels. You can find me on an Instagram and TikTok at Susan Esco Official or at The Hollywood Bubbler, or most importantly at Die Free to Be Me.
And I hope one day you'll come to London and we can meet up in person. That will be amazing. Or if I come to LA,
That'd be lovely. I'd love to do a commercial with you, friends. So
yeah, that keep would be that amazing, in mind. Goals. Yes. We'll put it out there to the universe.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
No, pleasure. Thank you, Susan. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Bye for now. Thank you.
Bye. Another great conversation. I really enjoyed listening to Susan's story and so many things to take away from that. But you know what really struck me is the fact that Susan is now got to a place in her 50s where she really is living her life authentically, 100% living true to herself. The fact that she's come out later in life as a lesbian, the fact that she has changed career paths completely in her 50s to modelling, to acting and to the bubbling. And she's also found time for play. And it's a great example of you are never too late to step out of your comfort zones and to really reconnect with yourself and who you are. Because we so often lose that sense of connection as we're going through midlife and our roles change in the family with empty nesting, the dynamics of the family change. Perhaps you've become carer for your elderly parents or relatives, and it's so hard sometimes to fit time in for yourself. So I liked the idea that Susan recommended of spending 15 minutes scheduling something into your diary where you can have some time for some play that brings you joy. It might be skipping outside in the garden for 5 minutes or sticking some headphones and dancing in the kitchen to your favourite music. But just do something that's going to reconnect yourself and allow you some time just for that 5 minutes to switch off and just be you. So thank you, Susan, for sharing that. Another great conversation. I will be back next week. If you haven't already and you're enjoying these conversations, please go and subscribe to the Liberty Free to Be podcast so that you don't miss any of the episodes. And if you could spare a few minutes, go and leave a review, because the more reviews we get, the more people will be able to listen to this podcast, the more women we can inspire and motivate and empower. And that's what this podcast is all about. So thank you all for being loyal and listening, and feel free to share with as many friends as possible, because I want to get these women's stories out there into the arena, use their voices and use this platform to share them. So thank you so much. I will be back next week. But in the meantime, keep being fabulous. Thank you for listening to the Liberty Free to Be podcast. I hope it's left you feeling inspired. If it has, why not come and join my free Step Out of the Bubble Facebook group? It's a safe space where you can connect with other women all at different stages of their midlife journey, supporting and inspiring one another. Oh, and don't forget to come and say hello on Instagram at RachelCarew1. I'd love to know what free to be means to you. If you're loving the podcast, please don't forget to subscribe, rate and review. Your support is much appreciated. I'll be back next week, but in the meantime, keep being fabulous.